Acts chapter 17, if you would stand with me for the reading of the scripture this morning, as we are in Acts 17, and we come to a very familiar church, not because there's an epistle written about them or to them, but because of what is written here in Acts about them. We come to Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. And follow as I read here. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out if these things were so." Father, we just want to be like the Bereans, that God, receive your word with all readiness. We want to search the scriptures to find out if these things are so. And we just pray you'd meet us now as we study together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know I have shared with you guys about the house that I bought several years ago. It was a real fixer-upper. But this reminds me of the backyard. The backyard was a mound of dirt, literally about 4 feet high, going to the length of the backyard. The house, when I bought it, was 40 years old. It never had been landscaped. And there were rocks back there. There was weeds. There was these bunch of these railroad ties back there. And, so I had been fixing up the inside of the house. We couldn't even live in it when we bought it. And we were living at my in-law's house. And you know how that goes. You got to get out quick. So we were working hard. No, it was a great time, actually. just trying to get your attention. I'm glad they're not here this morning. we moved in and got things settled inside, and the next thing was to get working on the backyard. And, I can remember I got a picture of Bruce Cook, in a bobcat, and Isaac's like 4 years old, and Joel's like 2 years old. And we are, building retaining walls and moving dirt, and it was quite a project. And there was many guys, that helped us out, on that, and, it took a long time. You know, and the thing is that you, if you're going to prepare the soil to plant as we wanted to, grass, and, now we've got all of our, nice flowers out there. And you follow my wife on Facebook, you've seen all her pictures of her flowers from her garden. And, we are green thumbs over there at the Douglas house, and we love to be outside. And it took months to prepare the soil, and to till the soil, and to get the rocks out, and to get the weeds out, and really to prepare it so that when the seed went in, the seed could take. And as I think through all of the work and being there and doing the work and still out there picking the weeds and, cleaning things up, I'm just reminded of the Bereans. Because they were a people that it says receive the word with all readiness. Now we know them for those that search the scriptures to see if these things are so. And when you think of Bereans, maybe there's a Bible study called the Bereans. It's named after these guys because we're going to search the scriptures to see if what we're hearing from the teaching is true based on scripture, which is so important. And I pray in that sense, we are all Bereans in this church. And one of the signs of really an awakening, a spiritual awakening, is that people are in the Word of God, and that the Word of God is something that is so important to us. I mean, we're basing our eternal life upon the Word of God, and we don't want to base that upon Pastor Trent's opinion. We want to base that upon chapter and verse. We want to know that what we are studying, that what I am saying or whoever else is teaching is absolutely truth. So we are all to be Bereans. We are to be commended if we are. Paul is, Luke here is commending the church here of Berea. Interesting, the church of Berea never has an epistle written to it. And you might say, well, maybe they weren't that important. Well, actually, when we look at the epistles, many of them are written as a corrective epistles, meaning there's a problem and therefore Paul would write. It is very possible, but the church of Berea here was such an awesome church, there was no need to write them. And so we don't have any record in the New Testament of some, you know, large epistle concerning this church. But no doubt God did a great work in here. Many people, verse 12, it says there, believed and God just, opened a great and effective door for Paul and Silas and Timothy as they were here ministering. But one of the things about the Bereans that we miss is that first part of verse 11. It says here, again, we will read, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? Why were they more? And the word fair-minded is noble, honorable, could be translated more open-minded, more receptive in that sense. Why were they? First of all, it says because they received the word with all readiness. And there is that analogy, an illustration in Scripture about the Word of God being seed and our hearts being soil. And I want to examine that with you this morning and investigate that scripturally. And then I want us to think about our own hearts, because I think this brings up a lot of great issues and really helpful ability for you and I to be those that receive the Word of God more than maybe we do. It's, again, not about hearing the Word of God, not about studying the Word of God, but it's about receiving the Word of God. Before they were to search the Scriptures, they had hearts that were pliable and hearts that were receiving the Word of God. Turn with me to Matthew 13, where we find the parables of Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, and we will look at verses 3 there through verse 9 to start of Matthew 13. Here in Matthew 13, Jesus here is sharing the parables, and he says, Matthew records, then he spoke many things to them in parables. And here's his first parable, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony place where they had not much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus here is sharing a story. That's what a parable is. It's a story to illustrate a spiritual truth. So he's taking a truth from nature that was familiar with the farming community that he's speaking to. And we have called this the parable of the sower. Now, as I like to do, I like to change those names. I think that's a really bad name for the parable, because it's not really about the man sowing seed. It's actually about the soil that the seed is landing in. So we would call it the parable of the soils, plural, because there are four different soils. Now, Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18 there through 23, Jesus interprets this for us. So we don't need to try to figure it out. Let's listen to what Jesus says. Look at over at verse 18 with me. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Now, Jesus is with his disciples and he's saying, I want you to hear this now. Hear the parable of the sower. Verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives a seed by the wayside. Now, to understand this parable, we need to understand two main things here. As we see here, in verse 19, we see that the seed, that the heart is what Jesus is speaking about when he talks about the soil. So the soil represents the heart. So a good soil represents a heart that has been properly prepared. You'll see where we're going here. So I want to talk about how we would prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. Now the seed is no doubt the Word of God. In fact, in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says this. Another place Jesus shares the same parable. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. So the seed is the Word of God, and the soil is the heart. So that's what we need to understand. So the first soil that the Word of God, the seed, lands on is the wayside. The wayside's the pathway. It's the area that's been trodden down. It's very hard. This represents a hardened heart. He says here that the birds of the air come and take it away. He says the birds of the air represent the wicked one, the enemy. He comes and steals it away. So when the Word of God is sown, when the Word of God is thrown out, when the Word of God is declared, it falls upon hard hearts. They don't understand the Word, and the enemy comes and snatches it away. It's like it never was given to them. It's like they never heard it. And think about you before you came to Christ. How many times did you hear the gospel or have someone share something with you about spiritual things, about the Lord, and you just didn't get it? It just didn't affect you. Your heart was so hard. And so then Jesus says, the second soil here, verse 20, he says, but he who receives the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Now we're talking this morning about being a receiver of the word. So notice they receive it. But we want to be one who is receiving the word as the Bereans were, with all readiness. They receive it, but their soil, their heart, wasn't ready for it to take root. Here is the stony place. Now, in Israel, you've got to know this, that the ground is not just, it doesn't just have rocks. It is rock. Like there is bedrock all through Israel. It's right there in the Syrian African Rift, and it is just a huge, areas of Israel that is just rock. And dirt will blow over it. You might have an inch or two of dirt, on top of rock. The seed would then fall on that, and the seed would then spring up quickly. The water would stay in there because it wasn't that deep, so the water would stay in there. Seed would spring up quickly and begin to grow. But when the sun would really get hot, as it certainly does in Israel, when it would really get hot, it would scorch it, and that would die. And Jesus is saying, listen, our hearts are like that. It's seemingly, we say, and we know how this is, we might say amen to the sermon. We might, yeah, right on. We agree. There's no issue. We're not, saying, I don't agree with this. Our hands aren't folded. Our hands are raised. We clap. Yes, amen. This is great. But the seed never takes root. And so during time of testing, time of trial comes, immediately it dies. And how many times in my own life has the Word of God come to me and I've said amen to it, but my heart just wasn't ready. My heart wasn't prepared. And it didn't take root. And you can go back and read through your journal, if you've done that. And that's great to do. You can go back and read through it and realize, there's a repetitive theme here in my life of this sin or that sin. God spoke to me here, and He spoke to me here and here, and I seemingly received. Why haven't I changed? Because my heart hasn't been ready. I think this is a very important truth. Verse 22, it says, now he who receives the seed among the thorns, or the third soil, is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So this third soil that it certainly got depth, but with it there are thorns, there are vines, there are weeds, that are there. And Jesus says these are the cares of this life. Now, this is certainly one for American Christians. The cares and the riches of this life. I think it's Luke or Mark. And by the way, the parallels of these in the other Gospels is Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 4. And they all have maybe a few different words here or there that would fill in some of the gaps here. And so when we receive the word among the thorns, you know, it's the cares. Luke, I think, says the pleasures of this life. It's the pleasures of this life. It's the cares of this life. It's the riches of this life that choke the word out. As we examine our hearts, there is no doubt that there are things in your life and in my life that choke out the word. I mean, the word begins to grow, the word is flourishing, and then all of a sudden something is choking the word out. It never comes to bear the fruit that God has intended it, that we want it to. And this is so important because this is our life. This is where we live. Now, Jesus, no doubt, here is speaking about when the gospel goes out and men hear the gospel and why people seemingly respond to the gospel but then never carry it through. But we've got to realize that it is more than that, too. It is also every day that we as believers hear the word of God. I believe that every one of us in our hearts have all four of these soils. They're there. There's some areas of your heart today that are hard. There's just certain areas, certain issues that God has not yet got a hold of, that you might not even, as it says there, of the wayside, they don't even understand that someone shares it with you. You hear it in a message and Satan just, boom, takes it away. It's like it doesn't exist. And you might be in your life living in an area where you're in compromise and you don't even realize it. Then there are areas in our life where we have sins that are going on the stony ground. There's just no depth. There's no, we agree, we say amen. We might even pray and confess our sin, but we never change. There's no depth there. There's areas of our life today where there's those thorns and the cares and the distractions of this life are choking out the Word of God. You know, I think about my garden in my backyard. There is this one area that was close to the house, right by the AC unit, that we couldn't get a tractor up by. And so when we were tilling and doing things, it's just a little planter bed. But that one area is like crabgrass central. You guys that are green thumbs know what I'm talking about. When I was a kid, we called it devil's grass. And I think it'd go good for the sermon this morning. That devil's grass that would just come up. And I'll tell you what, I have dug it up. I have poured gasoline on it. I almost lit it on fire, but my house would have been torched too. I have taken Roundup and put it on it more times than I can remember. And, you know, it was just before we went to India that one of my boys' jobs, as they were raising money to go to India, one of their jobs was to weed that section. And I mean, that crabgrass is growing up through bushes that are 4 feet tall. You can see it coming out the top. I mean, it just is relentless and it chokes everything out. It's right around my nice little rose bush and my rose bush gets choked out by it. And you know, it's a reminder to me from the Lord that's an area of your heart. That stuff just doesn't go away unless you deal with it severely. And it's interesting because that was all through my backyard. But you know, we took out about six, you know, or about a foot of dirt, and we moved the dirt. And looking back, we were just building some retaining walls and doing some different things. So I'm really glad we did that because it removed those roots, and that's what we need, a total uprooting. And so Jesus says it's these things, it's the cares. And we are so distracted with so many things in our lives and distracted from the Word of God, distracted from reading our Bibles, distracted even from being in church. I mean, there are so many distractions in our culture. Our culture used to be kind of centered around church, centered around worship, centered around the Lord. And no longer is that true. This morning I was driving, you know, before church, and I was watching some, you know, I was in a parking lot, and I was watching, you know, kids load in the car with their baseball gear on, and, you know, my kids are all in sports and that kind of stuff, so I kind of know what's going on. But on Sundays, nowadays, it's not even a hesitation for there to be games on Sunday mornings. You know, not only did we not play sports on Sundays, not too long ago, but, I mean, stores weren't even open. I mean, what is it? Chick-fil-A, I think, is the only one that's left that says we will not be open on Sundays. And that's because of a biblical foundation that they want their employees, the owner of Chick-fil-A, as a believer, wants his employees to be in church on Sunday. Thomas, my friend who owns a Chick-fil-A, tells me about their annual conference that they go to, the Chick-fil-A annual conference. He says, Trent, it's just like the pastor's conference. Thomas used to be on staff with me at the church. He's all, it's just like the pastor's conference we used to go to. It is awesome. And it's for all the owners of the Chick-fil-A's to come to. But they're centered around the Word of God. And you know, it's just so many things in our lives that just say, you know, and there's kind of an attitude today like, you know, if we get around to it, if we have time, if it works out, we'll go to church. And obviously, I'm not saying that to you guys because here you are. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful. And it's not just church we're talking about. It's God's Word we're talking about. It's God's Word, for us daily, being in the Word of God daily. You know, there's a lot of believers today that are not in the Word of God. You know, there are different books out there. There are devotional books and whatnot. And those are cool, but they can never supplement the Word of God. Reading through the Scriptures. I have a dear friend who's been pastoring for some 50 years, and his name is Harold Anderson, and he's gone to Africa with me. Just a great guy. He's in his 80s, and he's, you know, just pastoring, and he goes and travels and hikes and does all this crazy stuff with it. He's awesome. He's my hero, and he reads 10 chapters every day of the Word of God. Now, he started this later on in his life. He's read the Bible 80 times. He goes through the Bible 3 times every year. Now, I don't do that. Again, he's my hero. I'm not saying we all have to do that, but there's someone that just realizes the Word of God is so important to him. And he tells me, Trent, it's a personal conviction of mine. There's many years I went as a pastor, and I just felt like I just forsook the Lord in the sense of His Word. He was he came from a different denomination before he was a Calvary Chapel pastor, and God really stirred his heart to come back to the Word and get away from all of the programs and different things. And you know, there are so many things that are distracting us. I mean, you open your Bible and you've got your little phone next to you, right? And your little smartphone, and emails are coming through and texts are coming through, and I mean, it's very hard, and I know this because I'm speaking about my own life and the distractions. But we have to say, Lord, I want my heart ready to hear Your Word. You know, people say, I want God to speak to me. I want to know God. I want to hear from God. Well, you've got to put yourself in a place where you can hear. You've got to ready yourself. And that's the good soil, and that's where we come to. It says here in verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We have to clean the soil before we can plant the seed. And that is what I had to do in my backyard. And I spent many, many, many of days doing it. I remember once we got it graded, and we then put in the sprinkler system and brought in a few truckloads of, the mulch there, the fertilizer stuff you put in there, and the rototiller started going, and we got it all mixed up. And then I got out the final grading process, and I get out these big giant rakes and I start raking it. And I remember that, my wife saying, isn't it ready? I mean, it looked good. It was all ready. But I knew there were still some dips and different things, and there were still rocks. So we had to get the little rocks up and get it ready, because I was going to lay sod back there and just lay that stuff out. It had to be perfect so that sod wouldn't die. That sod would take, that sod would grow. And you know, sometimes we just are impatient with that process. And we're like, it's good, it's ready. And I've watched some of my neighbors, you know, they went to seed their lawn. And you know, it's like this. It's just all messed up and it's kind of not really tilled up and it doesn't have the right, you know, mend in it and different things. And they just throw out seed. But you know, it will grow, but it doesn't last. And the poor guy's lawn is all weeds and it's just horrible. Mine is just beautiful. Okay, I'm boasting about it a little bit. I love my grass. I don't know why I do. I was thinking this morning, I need to fertilize it. It's getting brown. You know, but it's beautiful. We can play soccer on it. It's nice. It's whole. It's healthy. It's bearing fruit. It's a hundredfold. And as we think about our lives and think about our hearts, some of them are like that neighbor's lawn. That well, it's got some stuff. It's got some word. But it doesn't last. And weeds come in. They choke it out. And you know, we need to be clean, clean vessels. If God is going to you know, feed us His Word, we've got to come with hearts ready to be fed. Ready to be fed. It's not just my job as a pastor for you guys to feed you. You can't just come in with a rock stone heart and say, feed me, pastor. And go, well, I didn't get anything out of that message. Well, read the parable of the soils here again. And see what the issue might be. It might not be the message. It might be the heart. And you come to the Word of God yourself and you read it and you say, I don't get anything. Where's your heart? We've got to break up the fallow ground. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord speaks this. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, he says this. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow amongst the thorns. Hosea says something very similar. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow for yourself righteousness, reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. We need to be people who realize that we have to prepare ourselves to receive from the Lord. It's important for us to do that. It's like, you know, God wants to pour into us His Word. He wants to pour into us His heart, pour into us His life. But we need to be clean. We need to be clean vessels. It's like taking a dirty cup and pouring clean water into it. Well, that clean water that came from that pitcher is now defiled once it goes into the vessel. Our vessels must be those that are ready to receive. In Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, the psalmist says this, who may ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. This is what we need to do. We need to have clean hands and a pure heart as we approach the Lord, as we hear from the Lord, as we know the Lord. How do we do that? How do I prepare the soil of my heart? How do I prepare my heart to receive from the Lord? Well, the first thing is repentance and confession of sin. How do I clean my heart? My heart is going to be clean as I cleanse it through confession of sin. You know, this is one of the reasons that in church we start with worship. I just so appreciate the worship team this morning. And just some of the things they shared in the songs that they sang. Because it's an opportunity for us to ready our hearts. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. You know, when you come into church, first of all, I would encourage you. And if you were late this morning, I don't know, I was downstairs, with the youth worship as they're down there doing worship. So I went down there because I got the first service up here and my son's leading. So I thought it would be cool to check out what he's up to down there. I was down there. So I don't know, and this, I hope I don't offend anyone, but there's a reason that we do worship. It's not like the fill-in time. Do we need a fill-in? I mean, we could just get right to the Bible study and cut the service, you know, a half hour. And then you guys don't have to, you know, be here longer than you need to. It's not fill-in. It's a time to till the soil. It's a time to break up the fallow ground. It's a time to say, God, I'm here. I'm here to worship this morning. I'm here to be readied. I'm here to be prepared. Lord, I want to hear from you today. Maybe you don't know the song. Maybe you're not familiar with the music. Maybe you say, well, it's not my style. It's not my genre of music. Well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to sing every lyric. You can pray. You can open yourself up. But it is a time for us to be engaged with God. It's a time for us to not necessarily be, you know, just kind of staring off into the distance or looking around. It's a time. It's a personal time. It's a time when we come together as a body and just say, Lord, here we are. Well, wherever you might be that day would determine what you're doing. You might be celebrating, rejoicing. You might be sad. You might be. But it's a time for us to say, Lord, here I am. And the first thing that we want to do in that is to be saying, Lord, here I am. Cleanse me. Prepare me. Ready me to hear your word. Now, can we translate that and carry that into our private time with the Lord? Because we should. A time of prayer. A time of just readying our hearts. A time of just allowing the Lord to meet us and speak to us. And confessing our sin. It's something that's so powerful. James, speaking about the clean hands and a pure heart, James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 say this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So this idea of clean hands and a pure heart, who will stand before the Lord? Who can stand in his presence? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. How am I going to know the Lord and fellowship with the Lord? I've got to be clean. Well, I can do that through, obviously, the blood of Jesus. David, when he came to confess his sin, this is what he said in Psalm 51. David said in verses 1 through 3, have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Listen to what he says, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin, for I have acknowledged my transgression, and my sin is always before you. David came humble and broken before the Lord, and he just said, Lord, cleanse me. You know, when you prepare dirt to plant something, and that's what you do, you cleanse the dirt. You clean out the rocks. You clean out the weeds. You clean out the garbage. You put in that which is going to be fertilizer for it. That's going to give strength to the plants. That's what we're doing with our hearts. We're saying, Lord, cleanse my heart. There's all kinds of stuff there. And I want it just to be solely and wholly focused on you. He goes on in Psalm 51 in verse 7. He says, purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me. And I love this. And I will be whiter than snow. Verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me and I will be clean. This is his prayer. This is exactly how we come and prepare ourselves for the Lord to speak to us. Now, this should be a practice of our life. So it's not like, you know, we want to prepare and plant a great garden, then revert back to a bunch of weeds and, you know, let it be neglected. And that's what happens. You know, there's areas of my garden at home that, you know, over the winter or whatnot, I'll neglect it. And then I have to go and purge the whole thing. I have to replant everything. And, you know, that's not what we want to do. We want to live our lives in a continual place of just fellowship. Lord, let me hear when I'm driving down the street, Lord, my heart to be right. Just a fellowship with God. Isaiah says it this way, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This idea of clean, of white. I love what God says. God says, come, let us reason together. What's God saying? Let's talk. Come, let's fellowship. Let's have it out here. Let's talk about your sin. Let me help you. Let me deal with your sin so that you can come and approach me. You know, the New Testament is so clear. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it simply says this. Most of us know the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How beautiful this is. What is he saying? If. You'll notice I have that underline, if. And you go, why would you underline if? Because I'm weird. No. Because if we do this. If we don't, what's left? Well, I can't be clean. I can't have a prepared heart. He says, if we confess. We need to confess our sin. It's the first point of cleansing my heart. Now, you've heard me say this before. The word confess simply means to say the same. It just means to agree. When you confess something to someone, you're just agreeing to what maybe you were accused of. Okay, I confess. Yes, you're right. You're saying, I agree. You're right. So when we confess our sin, we are just saying the same thing God has already said. We are confessing God is right and we are wrong. I love that verse. I think it's in Romans 3. I think it's in verse 3 though, where Paul says, let God be true and every man a liar. I love that. Why? Because I need to confess that. God, you are true. God, you are right. And I'm always a liar. My heart lies. My emotions lie. The enemy's lies. My thoughts lie. The guilt that's on me lies. Your word is true. And so I want to align my life with your word. I want to come back to your word. And so I confess that what I've done is wrong. Your word declared it. And let you be true, God. And I confess my sins. Look what it says. It says, he is, not we are, he is faithful and just. You see, my job is to confess my sins. He's the one that forgives my sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then we see here, it brings up that word. We've been looking at that word, clean, cleanse. He says to clean and to clean us from all unrighteousness, or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is a difference between forgiveness and cleansing. Forgiveness is that I'm going to forgive you of that sin. I'm going to put that away. But cleansing is I'm going to remove it from you. It's a difference in my garden of those weeds, that devil's grass. Do you know how many times I have forgiven it, removed it, sprayed it, killed it, cut it off with a shovel, and for a couple of weeks it looked awesome over there. It was a great little flowers in there that I planted. But it just keeps coming back. You see, it never was cleansed. That's the difference. The difference is when you're cleansed, it's taken out. It's removed. And that's ultimately what we want. And in the parable of the sower, that's what it is that dirt, that good ground, it's tilled, it's prepared, it's ready. It can bear fruit into, eternity, if you would. It will last. It will endure. There will be a crop that will grow. It won't be choked out. It won't die. It won't wither away. It takes that cleansing work of the Lord. That's what God wants to do. He wants to cleanse you and I from our sin. And you know, there is that confession that we start with, but ultimately there must be the repentance that follows. And I've shared this with you before, but it's so important. Let's be reminded this morning of it, that repentance isn't a prayer. Confession is. Confession involves words. I say the same. I speak to God. I say, God, you're right. Repentance is an action. Don't mix up confession and repentance as if they're one and the same. They're not. I confess my sin. That's the first start. I confess that I'm wrong. I confess to the Lord that you know, He is right. Well, now what am I going to do with it? What am I going to do? How many guilty people have confessed their guilt and continued in that very thing they were charged for? I've got to change. And when I change, that's when that cleansing happens. The cleansing in me. The purifying. Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1. As we kind of tie this together this morning and get ready to close the message. But this idea of cleansing, this idea of removing out of the soil, the word being planted. It's all found here in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this. Note this. Here in James 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness an overflow of wickedness. I just want to pause there for a minute. Make sure everyone gets there, sees that. Lay aside. Notice before we're to receive the word, we're to lay aside the sin. That's what he's saying. Look at it closely. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive. There's that word. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Again, the same imagery. Notice the word implanted. It's the idea of planting in soil. The implanted word which is able to save our souls. And that word save is a very broad meaning. It's not just, well, you were once unsaved and now you're saved. It's a meaning that speaks of that ongoing salvation in our lives, that sanctification, we would call it, that our growth in Christ, our being conformed to the image of Him. And that's what James is referring to here. It's so powerful. And Peter says something very similar. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says in verses 1 and 2, he says, therefore lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, and as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you might grow thereby. I love that, that you might grow thereby. So again, before I can receive the word and grow, I've got to lay aside these things. But he goes on in verse 22 here to say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Meaning if you're only a hearer, you're going to deceive yourself. You can be self-deceived when you're only listening. Again, this morning we're hearing the word. Right now you're hearing the word. But you could be deceived, thinking, well, I'm good. I've heard. I'm in church. I'm in Bible studies. In fact, I go to Wednesday night and I go to the men's or the women's Bible study. And I go every Sunday morning. I mean, faithfully. I also tithe. I serve. You could still be just a hearer of the word and not a doer. Your heart can be so full of weeds and that crabgrass, that devil's grass. You could be having all kinds of rocks in there and real hard areas. There's no fruit. It's just all outward. We've got to be those that are seeking the Lord. God, speak to me. God, here I am. God, cleanse my heart. Prepare me, O God, lest I be deceived. He says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in the mirror. He's saying the word of God's like a mirror, and it is. It shows us who we really are. We might think we're something when we come, with meek hearts receiving the implanted word, and we see who we are. We're not all we think we might be. And so the mirror reflects who we are. He says in verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And isn't that true? You go away from the word, whether it's leaving church, leaving the Bible study, leaving the reading of the word, and you feel so spiritual when you're there. And you're just, yeah, this is good. You get the amens. You're agreeing. Everything's good. And you go away and you forget. And you're just a hearer. But you think you're okay because you're one who is hearing, but you're not a doer. See, it's the heart that is ready is the heart that's going to receive and the heart that's going to bear fruit. The heart that's going to be a doer. Look at verse 25. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. I love what he says here. He's not a forgetful hearer. That's what they're called. That's what we're called when we're hearers. We're forgetful. We just so quickly forget. We're distracted by so many things. But a doer of the work. Now, you'll note that he changes the word from word in this to work now. He's been saying you're just a hearer of the word, a hearer of the... He says you're not only a hearer, but you're a doer of the... He doesn't say word. That would be natural. And say, but you're a doer of the word. Because he said, in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. He doesn't say doer of the word. I like how he changes it. He says doer of the work. You're a doer. You do it. It's... The word becomes an action in your life that is carried out. That is going to be the person who bears fruit 100, 60, 30-fold. And by the way, I'd really want to be the 100. I don't know what it is. I'm greedy. I don't like the second best. I'm not cool with 60, Lord, in my life. And I'm not cool with 30, especially. Give me 101. You know, that's just where we ought to be. Lord, and here's the reality. The soil will determine the fruit bearing. The more prepared it is, the more fruit it will bear. Isn't that awesome? Oh, that's just so awesome to me. But it's interesting, verse 25, he says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. That word look is very similar to the idea of what the Bereans were, is that they received the word with all readiness and they searched the scriptures. That's the idea of now they're searching the scriptures. Listen, when your heart is ready, when you're receiving, when you're excited, and the word ready could be translated eager. When you're eager to receive the word of God, you're also going to be eager to search the scriptures. And you know, I know that when there is revival going on in the lives of people, there are more questions about the Bible. It's just a fact. Because they're eager and they're excited and they're reading and they're in the scriptures and they're like, what does this mean? And what's that mean? And you said this, but this verse says this. How does that work? And there's that searching of the scriptures to see if these things were so. The Bereans, they did it daily. They examined and searched the scriptures. But they also came with a heart ready to receive. We get so much Bible in our church. And I pray that never stops and that just continues. Because I don't think we can have enough. But as we are getting so much Bible and as we are receiving the Word of God, let us make sure that our hearts are readied. We're prayed up. We're clean. We're saying, God, speak. I promise you this morning. If you put the time in to ready your heart, God's going to speak to you. He's just going to speak to you. God's speaking. It's not like, God, speak. God's like, I've been speaking. You can't hear. That's why Jesus says, he who has any ear to hear, let him hear. That's what he said in the parable of the soils. He who has any ear to hear, let him hear. He says to the churches of Revelation, he who has any ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Do you know what the Spirit is saying to the churches? The Spirit is speaking right now. In this day and age, the Spirit is moving. The question is am I hearing? Is my heart that hardened wayside? Is my heart that rocky ground? Is my heart that thorny patch? Or is my heart that good ground? The seed's going out. The Spirit's speaking. God's ministering. Am I receiving? And that's on me. That's on you, church. We have to put in the time to say, I want a beautiful garden. I want a nice garden. I want fruit. Okay. Ready the soil and the rest the Lord will do. The rest he will do. Respond to him, walk with him, love him. And here's the reality. It is a joy. It is an absolute joy to be getting ministered to by God through his word, to being stirred up, to obeying it, to watch fruit, being born in your life, to see God's work. And church, what are we distracted with today? What is it? Each of us need to examine our own hearts. We need to put it aside. We need to get refocused and focus on that which God has called us to and focus on Him and His Word and have that ready heart and experience that revival and be Bereans, be true Bereans. And I love what it says. Daily they search the Scriptures. And when you're eager and your heart is excited and your heart's ready and you're bearing fruit, that is your daily desire, is to be in God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word once again. We just ask that you would pour out your Spirit, Father, now upon us, and that you would just draw us close and near, and that we would just fall in love with you each and every day, more and more, and that we, Lord, would just follow you. God, help us to deal with whatever sin it might be today or any distraction it might be, even like Hebrews says, that weight that so easily ensnares us, Father, that we would cast it off. Fill us, we pray, Lord. We thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.